The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills.
In the house! Welcome to 2018!
Again.
Yeah, so we did that last week. Now we're actually time traveled and we are actually in 2018
as a group. Yes. New Year's Day today as we record this.
We finished playing some games. We did some bowling earlier, you know, but that's not really important, right? Anybody care about that?
No.
Let's talk about games. What games are we talking about today?
Today we have 10 games that we'll be talking about that are coming to Kickstarter the week of Monday, January 8th, 2018. Got that right this time.
Woohoo! 18.
So we've all had our travels. We've all made it back safely. Most of us are doing well. Ryan's a little...
I'm recovering.
Recovering, good.
I can't hear anything right now, but otherwise I feel great.
So yell Ryan's name,
cheer for Ryan, yes. We'll respond. That's what we need to do. I think did we all see Star Wars over the Christmas
break?
Did we all like it?
I liked it.
Yes. Not as much as the first one.
No,
the newest of the episodes. Oh. Okay. I didn't like it.
Episode 7 was okay.
Of the newest ones that have come out, the 3 newest ones, this has been my least favorite.
Did you like Rogue One above Episode 7?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
Rogue One's still my top for
the whole thing.
The newest. Well, probably for the old thing.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Wow.
I really, really liked Rogue One.
I vote that I wanted to talk about spoilers, but I got shot down. So if you guys want my opinion, ask somebody on Facebook, not on Guild, because I won't be there. But
guild.tantrumhouse.com.
You guys should all go there and check that out. Let's go ahead and jump into a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by our local game store, Boardwalk, and by Bezier Games.
Ooh, we got two sponsors.
Pretty pumped about that. And they're not just your average, everyday, single episode sponsors.
No.
Tell us about what the new year is bringing
to us. Yeah, we're talking to our local board game store, and they're like, we want to sponsor you for a whole year.
We're pretty pumped about that. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. So we're awesome about that. That's great about that partnership with our local board game store.
Boardwalk,
purveyors of fine games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our tagline. And we'll be doing lots of cool stuff with them over the year.
Yeah, let's talk about one of those in a minute, but tell us a little more about Bezier too.
And then we were talking to Bezier Games with Ted and the team over there, and they decided to sponsor us for a year. So Bezier Games got some cool games. One of Melissa's favorites of all time.
Yes, my top game, spoilers,
is Castles of Mad King Ludwig. Mm-hmm. So you can check that out.
When do the new ones come out? When does Palace, is that already out?
Palace came out at Essen.
Okay.
So I think they had a little bit of shipment.
When is Melissa getting it? That's what it was.
So I think it'll be coming this in the beginning of this quarter one of 2018. We'll be hitting like retail shelves in
the glimmer in Melissa's eye alone just makes me want to play it. So.
Yes, it is. It is a little more take that because you're working on the same castle instead of your own castle. So you can
you're
block
working in your
people.
Same palace.
Right. Sorry. Palace.
Next gen.
The Mechanic. Yeah.
Diversion for no reason, but we've been playing Topiary. Have you guys seen that one yet?
Yeah, from Renegade Games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sarah and I have been playing that several times, and I didn't think that it was a backstabby game at all.
Until you played it with me.
Sarah brought out the scissors.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's a tile revealing game, so you have like a 5x5, I think, grid of tiles, and then on each turn you place a meeple along the edge, and he gets a view, like a row, he gets to see a row of tiles. You reveal one, or you flip one, and then you can either play one from your hand or from the one that you just drew, and the goal is to line up your topiary from 1 to 5 in like ascending height order and value order.
Cool.
So that you can score the entire row, which seems like a friendly enough game to me.
Until I place the giant 5 topiary right in front of Will's meeples all along the outside.
I'll have like 20 points lined up or something close to that. I don't even know how many you get. 5, 4, 3, 1. And then she'll plop one right in the middle and just steal my points.
Well, Melissa and I were up north with family, and one of the actual hits of the Christmas holiday time was Where Are Words by Bezier Games.
I was waiting for you to say Codenames, but okay, Bezier, all right.
Yeah, we actually didn't play Codenames.
We didn't play Codenames. That was crazy. Melissa actually did her, like, figured out all her stats for the year.
Yeah, this is the first year that I had recorded my gameplay.
After, like, 12 years of board gaming.
Yeah, so if you go on BGG, it looks like I haven't played that many, but really I have for years and years. But for this year...
In 2017, she decided...
2017, I did...
She's bringing it up. There it is.
528 games.
That you played.
Yes.
Unique.
And
200 of them were unique.
Okay, awesome.
And then my top four games were actually...
Drum roll.
Codenames.
What?
Right. Codenames Duet.
Surprise!
Codenames Disney.
No way!
Codenames Pictures.
Dude. It's like 37 Codenames.
Wow.
16 Codenames Duet, 13. Like,
now, I did demo.
I know. I was about to say, how did that come in there?
At CGE during Origins and Gen Con. So some of those numbers are probably from so those events also. As a result of.
And she did play Castles of Mack and Ludwig.
Yes, that was my number 8, 10 times.
10 times. So that's pretty good for the year.
Only 10 though? Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I played Werewords like 10 times in the last 2 months.
This is a longer game with
you can play like 20 Werewords in one.
Does you count each session or do you count each actual individual play of the game? How does that work?
For Werewords, I just count each session.
It depends.
Yeah.
Did you guys play anything cool, Ryan and Katie?
We played Happy Salmon with my niece and nephews.
Excellent. The gift. All right.
Yeah, they liked it.
Yeah, they really did. We had some crazy times of running around the table, cards flying, you know,
did you
collisions
get the green version?
I think we already midway around the table.
Green. Yeah, we played Exploding Kittens for the first time.
Oh, okay.
It was an interesting game.
Yeah.
It was a lot simpler than I thought it would be.
Really?
But my brother-in-law, who's not super big into games, really, really liked it. Because it had a little bit of a take that.
It was I found it to be like more simple than I thought it'd be, but then also more fun than I thought it'd be after I saw how simple it was.
All right, well, that's a good combination, I guess.
Can yeah. There was a couple of times I shot myself in the foot in the game while I was trying to shoot Ryan or, you know, things like that. But.
Yeah, we played the 1910 expansion for Ticket to Ride for the first time, and
Sarah
that was
the Europe one
pretty fun.
Most recently,
it shook things up in a nice way, I guess, for the regular map, and the cards were bigger, and I didn't know that, so I appreciated having full size playing cards for the tickets.
Yes, yeah. We actually gave my dad the 1910 expansion for Christmas because he had commented about the tiny cards in their Ticket to Ride version.
Yeah.
So
the best part is the large cards.
So the sad thing is we actually didn't play as many board games as we wanted to play up with Pennsylvania and Maryland families because we binge watched
Stranger Things,
yeah,
both seasons.
Season 1 and season 2.
We introduced it to my mother.
Have y'all not seen it?
We've seen season 1 before, but Melissa's mom has never seen it.
Oh, I bet she loved it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really likes those strange types of
things.
Shows. Yeah.
So we rewatched Stranger Things 1 in 2 days, Stranger Things 2 we watched in another 2 days. So
did you catch anything rewatching the first episode that you didn't?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
All right, cool.
And it was good, I think, to watch it back-to-back because then it was fresh in the mind when you
We thought about going back to rewatch it.
And we're like, when's season 3 coming?
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. So the thing that we mentioned a second ago that we didn't finish talking about was in our partnership with Boardwalk, one of the things that we're working on that's going to come to fruition really quickly, kind of quickly, 2 months, is our game day.
Yes.
We're going to call it Tantrum Con. It's kind of a con.
We're working towards the con.
That's right. This is the baby step.
Wait, convention, not like a con as in like... conning people out.
They knew what we were talking
about. For convicts.
Tantrum convention.
Yeah. So February 24th, mark your calendar if you're anywhere near Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes.
It's a Saturday. We are going to be meeting at the Greenville Library. They've got two nice, really big, open spaces available. And we're partnering up with Boardwalk, so they'll be bringing their game library as well as a bunch of cool promo stuff and tournament packs.
Yes.
And we are putting together I think it's going to be a pretty cool event. We've got a decent amount of the groundwork laid, but new stuff is coming in all the time, which is the most exciting. And you can check out information at tantrumcon.com. com.
So that's C-O-N with an N as in Nancy, and then an M as in mother.
Mother Nancy, remember that.
That's the other. Oh, no. Anyway, and other than the Boardwalk sponsors, we have some publishers sponsoring us for the game day, TangerCon.com.
Cool. Yes.
And they're also going to be sending us some games to give away at that one-day free convention.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. Totally free.
Free to come. So.
And there'll be some cool giveaways. You can register.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't know I'd go to a free board game convention. Awesome.
One day, it'll be like 9
I'm
to 5.
I'm
going
to be there.
All right, good plan.
You should come, Katie.
I'll come. Right. Because it's free.
We are working towards a multi-day convention for 2019.
It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. So yeah, go check it out. You can register now to let us know you're coming. You can also just sign up to say you're interested and you want to get more info, and we'll send out more stuff as we get closer. But some cool stuff. We're also partnering up with the local escape room place. It's called Breakout, and they are talking about bringing maybe like a portable escape room or giving discounts on day of and stuff like that. So that should be cool. And we've got like a lunch tour that we're working on where you can play games and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll talk about it more, I'm sure, in the future. But be looking for that. Check it out. TantrumCon.com.
Sweet. So we're going to jump into our house guest segment with our house guest, Mark Burke from Colossal Games. Let's welcome to the house, guys.
Woo-hoo! Hey!
Welcome.
Hey,
how are you doing
lot,
tonight,
guys.
Mark?
Feeling great. It's a little cold up here in Indiana, but I'm indoors and out of the wind and feeling good.
Wonderful. Well, you are with Colossal Games. Tell me a little bit about Colossal Games. How did it start? Who's on the team? All that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, Colossal Games is the kind of brainchild of Travis Chance, formerly of Action Phase Games. He founded Action Phase Games with Nick Little and a couple other people. And Action Phase got bought by Indie Boards and Cards. He worked for a year with Indie Boards and Cards doing some marketing stuff for them and realized that his passion was in development and he wanted to get back to doing that. So literally just made the Colossal announcement at Origins this year. So fairly new company. He's the president. We've since brought on Kira Peevely as our CEO. She worked with Travis previously at Action Phase. So they're back working together again. And it's a lot of fun working with them. We've got a full-time developer in-house, AJ Lambeth. He's actually the designer of the second game we bring into Kickstarter coming up in February. But he's our full-time developer. And then we just recently hired an in-house graphic designer full-time. Chris Beyer is in here as well. So the kind of philosophy behind Colossal is that we're going to be doing primarily Kickstarter with the majority of our games. There may be some other, some smaller stuff that we take straight to retail, but Kickstarter will be the main focus, and just kind of having that direct relationship with the customer and kind of treating all the designers and illustrators that we work with kind of that white glove treatment.
Wonderful, wonderful. So the game Western Legends, that's going to be your first game that you're launching on Kickstarter?
Yep, absolutely. It launches on January 9th. So depending on when this goes out, I know we're recording it on the 1st. So we're talking just over a week here from when we're recording.
This episode will launch on January 8th. So it'll be the next day.
Yep.
So
absolutely. We'll be good to go.
Yeah, look forward to that. So why did you choose Western Legends for your first game to launch on Kickstarter with Colossal?
Western Legends, it's actually a game that's designed by a first-time designer, a French designer by the name of Hervé Lemaitre. He has always had a passion for the Wild West over here in America, and it's been a passion project of his for 10 years or so, and literally a game he carried around France and played with some buddies, and he would take it to local conventions and play it there with folks, and he presented it to Travis and a couple of the partners that we have on the back end that are investors had kind of brought it to Travis's attention, and just the open world sandbox nature of the game where you truly feel like you can literally do anything that you want. A lot of sandbox games suffer from one strategy is the best strategy, and so everybody does that strategy, and that kind of defeats the sandboxy nature of the game. But this wasn't like that at all, and so we were really intrigued by that concept and really wanted to bring it to gamers.
So I've read a little bit on the page about the game, and it sounds like you can play as different characters from Western Legends.
Yeah, absolutely. All of the characters in the game are historical figures from the time, so your typical Doc Holliday, Billy the Kid, Wyatt Earp, but there are a lot of characters in the game that a lot of people may not have ever heard of, characters like Bass Reeves or Stagecoach Mary Fields that were actually legitimate characters back in the Wild West, but you know, I jokingly say Val Kilmer didn't play them in a movie, so no one knows who they are. But you know, we're really careful in selecting the characters, and really Hervé did a great job with the characters that were in the game as well, to making sure it was a diverse selection, because while we're all used to the Wild West and seeing, you know, Clint Eastwood and John Wayne and those types of guys in the Wild West, the Wild West in reality wasn't full of just white dudes with mustaches. There were African Americans, there were Native Americans, there were women that were well known back there, so you'll see all of these characters throughout the game, and you literally take on the role of one of these characters and play out their legend however you see fit. So you could take a lawman like Doc Holliday and make him an outlaw, or you could make Billy the Kid a good guy all of a sudden. So you really have the flexibility to build their legend how you see fit.
So what's the, you said it was a sandbox game. Tell me a little bit about the mechanic. Like, what does a player do on their turn?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more an action. I almost refer to it kind of like an action point selection. You have a plethora of options at your disposal on your turn, and you'll take three actions. You know, being able to move is one of them, and then all of the locations on the board is really where the complexity comes into the game, because each location has different actions that you can take. So if you're at the saloon, for example, you can take an action to play a game of poker, and you can score legendary points by playing poker. You have the ability to go to the bank and rob the bank, and you know, there are some NPC characters that are there, one of those being the bank guard. If you decide you're going to rob the bank, you have to first defeat the bank guard in a duel, and you win that fight, you steal some money from the bank, you gain some wanted points, which kind of set the pace of the game. As you do activities to gain wanted points, those wanted points transition into legendary points at the end of every single one of your turns, depending on how far you've climbed up that wanted track or how notorious you've become. And so that's one way you can do it. And then you have martial players who are upholding the law that are coming after the wanted players and can arrest them and gain martial points for that. There are some NPC bandits on the board that you can arrest and gain martial points for, and you're gaining those legendary points or that LP for gaining martial points as well. So you can literally go on either side of the law, wanted or martial. You're earning points in different ways that are there. You earn points a little faster on the wanted track, but it's a very high-risk track to go on, because okay, not only are the other players coming at you, you've got an NPC sheriff that's coming for you as well that people can move around the board.
Cool. So the campaign starts January 9th, you said.
Yep.
And how long will the campaign last?
It's going to be a quick campaign. We're looking at 20 days. So it's going to run until, I believe, the 28th of January will be the end of the campaign.
Okay.
On there. And so, yeah, it's a very quick one.
So, and tell me a little bit about the reward levels. What can a player, or what can a player, what can a backer get for a certain, like, what
yeah, kind of absolutely. We have a pledge level of $70. That's the core. That's the core game. The game itself includes 13 miniatures. You'll have 12. There'll be 6 player miniatures that are in the game. There are 6 bandit miniatures, as well as an NPC sheriff. That's in the base game. There, of course, are stretch goals out there for possibly some other miniatures, some other characters, those kinds of things. But $70 gets you the base game and all of the unlocked stretch goals. All of those unlocked stretch goals are going to come in an expansion, quote unquote, that we're calling the Fistful of Extras.
Okay.
So you're going to have the base game and the Fistful of Extras, which is all of the unlocked stretch goals, and that Fistful of Extras will be available at retail later for an additional cost. But Kickstarter backers will get that. There's also an $85 pledge level that gets you the Good, the Bad, and the Handsome expansion that includes some additional players and some additional story cards to add to the game.
Okay. So, and this game plays 2 to 6 players, what, in about an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, about an hour, hour and a half. We've played plenty of 6-player games and been in right around the 90-minute mark. Okay. So it's even at 6 players, I mean, a 90-minute play, 90-minute play time's really great, even at a full player count.
Yeah, so this is, for our listeners, this is the game itself looks awesome. The miniatures look awesome. The art looks amazing. So if you're looking for some of this, like, Western sort of feel.
Yeah, I was going to mention the art, because it did draw me in when I was looking at it. Can you just first a minute or really quick tell us a little bit about the artist and the art?
Absolutely. Roland McDonald, he's known as Roland the Illustrator on Twitter and Instagram if you want to check out some of his other stuff. He's brilliant. He's fantastic to work with. We told him that we wanted to mimic kind of the French comic book Blueberry. It's a Western Wild West comic book over in France, and we kind of wanted to mimic that art style, watercolory, you know, with some drastic lines. And he sent some images over, and we're like, that's exactly what we wanted. He's fantastic to work with. He really captures what we were going for really well. And I would definitely, we have, if you're interested in more info, we have a blog post on colossalgames.com on our blog where we're talking exactly about that, the inspiration behind the artwork of the game and how it came to be.
So once again, January 9th, when it launches, Western Legends, it's a 20-day campaign. Speaking of that, I know that you guys already are planning another Kickstarter for February, so Colossal Games has already got Western Legends lined up, another game. Is that Kami-sama?
Kami-sama coming in February.
Okay, and yep. Do you already, as Colossal Games, like, looks into the future, you guys already have some other games lined up? Can they go somewhere like colossalgames.com or something?
Yep, check out colossalgames.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. We're at Colossal Games at all of those, and Colossal is spelled with a K there. So I think K for Kickstarter, colossalgames.com. We're Colossal Games on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And then, of course, we're on BGG as well. You can search out Colossal Games and subscribe and jump on there. Check out all the images. We're posting art and miniatures for Western Legends almost every day on BGG. So definitely check us out at all those places.
Cool. Now tell me, before we end the interview here, tell me about this gorilla as your logo.
We love the gorilla. He's just a powerful figure. You know, we really want to be a powerful force, but at the same time, you know, the gorillas, if properly trained, can be docile creatures. So it's kind of a powerful, striking image. We jokingly, a lot of people say it almost looks like a sports logo. So I've kind of told people that I want to get the hockey jersey and customize it with the Colossal Games logo and kind of be Colossal's Kevin Smith. Wear my custom jerseys at all the cons and such. But it's just a striking logo that we wanted to be able to catch people's attention. You'd see it on the shelf and immediately know that, oh, that's the Colossal Gorilla.
Well, thank you, Mark, for being on our podcast. Do you want to share anything with our listeners before we say goodbye?
Just keep an eye out on Colossal. I think 2018 is going to be an incredible year for us. We've got a lot planned over and above just Western Legends and Kami-sama. So definitely check us out online, colossalgames.com. Follow us on all the social media and shoot us a message if you have any questions. We're happy to communicate with everyone. We're pretty much an open book.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being on our podcast, Mark, and we'll catch you next time. And I hope Western Legends is a big hit.
Thanks a lot, Kevin and Melissa. You guys have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
Bye.
Well, it was great having Mark Berg from Colossal Games on our show, and we want to jump right in to our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
All right, Kevin, so what is the first game that we're looking at tonight and the Kickstarter connection? This morning? What time are you listening to this?
I don't know. Whenever they're listening. So the Knights of Fire Battle for Budapest is launching the second week of January, and it's from Mighty Boards. It's actually this, like, second game in this, like, they're calling it a duology. Yeah, their first game was based on the Hungarian success of this, like, revolution, and the second game, which is this Knights of Fire, is starting when their Red Army arrives at the edge of the capital and is pushing into the heart of the city. So it's got some different, like, mechanics to it. They're calling it part, like, modern Euro games with theme and the feel, but there's also some classic, what they call block war games, which is, sounds pretty cool to me. So got a little bit too...
Block war games being like territory control or any idea?
Yeah, so it's got some action management, some card management, and then some maybe some war game aspects to it as well. So sounds pretty cool.
Interesting.
So Melissa, I jump over to you.
All right, just briefly I wanted to mention Mask of the Red Death. It is kickstarting on January 10th by IDW Games.
Oh, cool.
And it is based on Edgar Allan Poe's short story, Mask of the Red Death. Now, in our next episode, we're actually going to be interviewing the designer of the game. So you'll hear a lot more about it next week. But just wanted to let you know that it is coming to Kickstarter this week. It is designed by Adam Wise, and the art is stunning. And it is by Chris Grimley, and he is a very well-known artist. So Mask of the Red Death, and it is coming.
We'll have Adam on next week.
Cool.
Katie.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Deja Vu, which is kind of funny because I researched this for December when they were originally going to launch, and then I was like, oh, Deja Vu, haven't we already talked about that? And so anyway, awesome. It was actual, like, a real instance of Deja Vu, but...
Every time you play it, that'll happen.
I know, yeah, maybe. Well, the idea of this game is that somebody has lost their memory. It's a nameless girl. She wakes up in a space pod, and basically she's trying to scramble to figure out what's happened to her. So she's looking to try to rediscover her lost memories. The idea is that she's doing all this. Each individual player is going to be collecting tokens that gives a reaping and sowing type mechanic to try to get more tokens. To buy cards that you add to a set collection, tableau kind of thing.
So this is funny because I'm having deja vu too.
Really?
Yeah. So did we talk about it too, or did you just research it? I feel like, I don't know, keep going. Sorry, but I was like, I've heard this. What's going on?
Deja vu for everybody. Okay. So anyway, so it's there's some set collection. There's like building up your engine to try to, you know, really get the ball rolling on this. When I first read this, I thought it was going to be a cooperative game, but it says that the first person to 10 cards wins. So I assume
not
that it's
too cooperative.
That it's not too cooperative. Yeah. But the art on it is really, is very pretty. There's a lot of really fun colors that are used in this game. And it looks like it's going to be really interesting. It's, coming to Kickstarter on January 9th. Ryan, what have you got?
Well, I want to talk about the game Hermetica. It is by IFF Studios, and it is a abstract strategy game, kind of in the vein of chess or checkers, I guess. My first impression from this was that I could see, like, aliens on a spaceship in Star Trek playing this. Like, if an alien race had developed chess and it was on a hexagonal board... Instead of it. Squares, this is what they would play.
Is that what they played in Star Wars? What's that game called?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, no.
I feel like we should know.
Ryan normally knows.
Dejark.
Star Wars?
There it is. Dejark. Yeah. But I was talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, I know.
Star Trek is Kal-Tel.
It looks like.
Yeah.
Kal-Tel.
Kal-Tel is Star Trek, FYI.
Anyway, it looks like it's just got a sleek, simple classic feel to it. I really like their website that's promoting it. Like, they've got a lot of good design
cool stuff
on the website
on.
And good check information. That one out. You can go on their website and try it out. And if you're into abstract strategy games, I really recommend that you do because it looks like it could be pretty fun.
You can
it's
play
a two-player
it on
game.
The website?
I think so, from what I gather. You can at least play a tutorial,
okay. But
it looks like you can play the full game there. I haven't tried to do the full game yet.
Cool.
So there's Hermetica. Definitely check that out if you're into hexagonal abstract strategy games. And then
that you play in space.
Yeah.
And then I want to give a brief shout out to the John Carter of Mars RPG from, let me make sure I have this name right. I think it's Modiphius.
It's Modiphius.
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 Yeah, right. It's such a weird name. I haven't registered in my head how that's spelled, so I keep getting it wrong. But it sounds really interesting. I guess Modiphius has a proprietary RPG system called 2D20, and I've never heard of this before, but it looks like it'll be interesting to play and maybe just simplify some of the mathematics and dice rolling that typically goes into RPG games. So I'd definitely like to try that out sometime. And just one of the things that's really cool with their Kickstarter is they have some miniatures for John Carter of Mars,
mm-hmm.
And if you've seen the movie or
read
the
movie.
Any books,
yeah.
These look really awesome. I think these might just be artist renderings, but if the actual miniatures turn out this way, they might be the kind of thing that you want to check out and get.
Buy it just for the minis.
Yeah. I have a nephew named John Carter, so this has a special place.
Merry
in
Christmas.
Our
next year. Yeah.
Right, when he's 2 years old, he can play it for sure.
He can collect it now.
Will, what do you have to...
I'm looking at the game called Mansky Caper, The Mansky Caper. It's from Calliope Games. I don't know what the date is. Kevin, date. I don't know.
For it's me. January 11th.
Thank you, Sarah.
That wasn't Kevin.
Thank you, Sarah. I was looking at my next
what?
Card game.
That's a girl?
That voice. It's a 2-6 player game, and you. The idea, basically, the storyline is that this mafia guy, Al Mansky, he's got all this money in his house, and he has hit the road, and you have like a limited amount of time to get in and try to steal his money, basically. And so there's a little bit of co-op to it. It sounds like you're working together to like find the treasures, but then whoever gets away with the most money is going to win. And it looks like it's got some pretty cool components, because it's got like several boards that represent your rooms. Each of those rooms has a safe in it, which is kind of cool, and it's like a three-dimensional safe with stuff in it. And then your people are moving from room to room to room, taking different actions. All your characters have different powers. They have a character that was inspired by Kevin. Her name is...
Wait a second.
Abracadabra.
Clever.
Sweet.
Abracadabra.
The magician, the sleight of hand lady. So I don't know. It looks pretty slick. It looks like it's like I said, 2-6. It's a cooperative. It looks like it could be a lot of fun. And you said January 2nd or
January
something.
January
11th. 11th. But wait, you said.
This is from Calliope, right?
Correct.
And you just played a Calliope game.
I did.
Tell me about like the component quality and stuff like that from... Was it Ancestry you guys played?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that one was pretty straightforward. It's just a tile game, okay. So component-wise, it was...
I haven't played any Calliope games personally, so I didn't know, like, what... like, how well they, you know, make
the Ancestry one is a new Eric Lang one that's coming out, and it's... the artwork on it is unique. I don't really know how to describe
it. This one looked, like, unique, too.
This
one
looks a little bit more fun. These are definitely, like, animated characters.
Okay.
But they have a very consistent illustration theme to them. The
treasure boxes look kind of...
They do. The safes look really cool.
Yeah.
It's got a bunch of coins.
Gotcha.
The rooms...
That would make sense.
Yeah. The rooms are pretty well illustrated. They got a lot of detail in them. It has kind of that Clue feel, maybe, like, overhead shot of rooms with a lot of objects and stuff in them. This one looks like it's going to be pretty sharp.
Yeah, the components for Ancestry were pretty straightforward as far as,
just
you know, just
tiles.
Yeah, just square tiles and punched out coins and stuff, but everything was good, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Calliope puts out. Kevin, you got another one?
Yes, actually, Sierra Madre Games is launching two games on the same day, January 10th. One is Greenland, and the other one is Neanderthal. And it's actually, Greenland is the third edition of the game. And Neanderthal is the second edition.
Okay.
So this is something that people, I guess, really like. And they're updating the box. They're updating some more components. I think they might be adding some players, if I remember correctly. So that's pretty cool. And the last one I want to talk about is Gentes. Tasty Minstrel Games, I guess, got the rights to it. And they are reprinting it. And they're deluxifying it.
Ooh.
I know Marty and Tony from Rolling Dice and Taking Names really enjoyed playing Gentes.
Yeah, it's a civilization game. So I guess people really like those kinds of games. Things that they're adding to it are metal coins for this game from Tasty Mentral.
Cool.
Changing cubes into something more upgraded, so upgraded bits. Silk screening the meeple figures.
Mm.
A box upgrade and thicker bits. So
what is the process for screen printing meeples, Sarah, of Screen Printer One?
Well,
do they do a
I
bunch
have
at
a
one
background
time?
In screen printing t-shirts and basically fabric. It's a very similar process. You have
Is it one
by meeple
machine. At a time? That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know. I have not seen the sheet.
I'm sure there's a sheet that you do like this and then they cut
them.
And
then laser cut afterwards.
Yeah.
And then you paint the sides? I don't know.
No, the sides usually aren't painted.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
they're already
painted.
They're already painted solid and then the
machine
will hold
up. Like the red meeples are already red.
Yes.
Right, that makes sense.
The machine will hold up the one item, print it very quickly, and then...
If you work at a meeple printing factory, let us know.
We want to hear from you. How does this work?
I'm sure someone from Meeple Source will contact us.
That'd be awesome.
One other thing, Tasty Minstrel Games is bringing this game to Kickstarter on January 12th.
January 12th, cool.
So we got everything from January 8th to January 12th. Yeah, they spread it out for us. It's so nice of them.
So this will be week 2 of January.
Correct.
You put out a week...
I've already done January first video. Yes. So let's see. By January 8th, my plan is to have the second half of January already live. When you're hearing this, I should have Kickstarters. If you want to go on YouTube and look at Kickstarters that are campaigns that are launching from January 16th through January, the end of January. Is it 31 days in January? Yes.
Totally
through the end of January, then you can check out our YouTube video about that.
Cool. Those are always good and helpful. I think a lot of people appreciate that content, and it's good stuff, and it helps the publishers too. So yeah, be sure to check those out and find out all the cool stuff that's coming, and then buy it. That doesn't help us out any, but go watch the video. At least do that.
You can check our subscribe to us and all that kind of stuff. It'd be good.
So I don't think we have any game prepared for this evening.
No, but
didn't
we want to like extend something?
Oh, well, we do want to do that. Yeah, that's a side topic. We'll save that for a minute.
Sorry.
But I think we need an opportunity to, like, I don't know if we can brainstorm this in the next 1.5 minutes, but we played the Couples Collision thing last year. Mm-hmm. We've talked about some other ideas.
We played a game of werewolves, which was amazing.
That was super fun. What was your
pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
That was ridiculous. That was just ridiculous. Yeah, we should do some more game playing. That'd be cool. I think we got to figure out another way to like get deeper into who we are as individual gamers.
Okay.
Katie had some ideas that she put on the table.
What's your idea, Katie?
I think we got to figure out how to flesh that out into like an activity, a good activity.
Tell us your idea, Katie.
Well, my idea was that we would each talk about what we thought of the other people, like, as their game players. Like, you know, like, what I think of Ryan, like, how he strategizes or something quirky that he
normally does.
Putting
on Ryan's shoes and walking for a
it's
mile.
It's basically a roast, but about them as a gamer.
Okay, all right.
It's not quite a roast. Come
Sarah's
on.
Sarah's a total backstabber. Is that what we're talking about? This could get dark. We need to find a way.
Will's always the blue player.
Okay,
always.
That's a good,
we already knew that.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows. Good, all right. So see,
Will's
what,
also the traitor. If there is a traitor mechanic,
even,
it is Will.
Yes.
Even if I'm not
even
the traitor,
not the traitor.
You're safe in guessing that.
But
yeah.
Will blames me every time, and then I'm always eliminated.
But she was the traitor for real.
No, it's usually Will.
No, it's usually Will. Yeah.
So we need to figure out some kind of matrix, or like maybe we can do like board gamer profiling or something. I don't know. This is coming in a future episode. Be ready for it. We're gonna find a way to like rate ourselves.
Right, tell us on guild.tantrumhouse.com how we should do this.
Does this exist anywhere else? Like, somebody has to have, like, I mean, I know there's, like, the Alpha Gamer and some of those other things.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other types of titles? Like, the Rule Nazi, I guess.
Rule Lawyer.
Yeah.
Melissa raised her hand. And Brian both.
At least
Someone needs to know the rules.
That's good. You gotta just
the slow player.
Cool. Well, we will definitely figure that out.
I was gonna say that's also me.
I'm the one who Instagrams the whole time. What are we?
The distracted player.
The distracted player. We'll get some titles. We need to work on these and be ready.
It's not just titles she's talking about. She's talking about they're actually like how they play games.
Oh,
play style.
Or
preference of games. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like
the Matrix is already coming together.
It's preference of games is a good one because some of like you guys are getting or more into the RPGs, whereas we're not, and stuff like that. So
Ameritrash all the way. All right, so the other thing we were going to talk about was we did a contest last week, giving away a copy of Steam Court. We're going to go ahead and push that out one more week because we want to give you guys a little bit more time and because we can't pull the name tonight anyway because this will go live before you can really get to it. So give us the details one more time, Kevin, on how they can enter that contest.
Yes. So you should be retweeting the tweets about getting a copy of Steam Court so you can continue to do that. And your name will be entered for a chance to win a copy of Steam Court with a promo card. And Will and Ryan said they promised they were going to sign the game.
And Ryan's going to illustrate something.
No.
Stick ninja.
Wow. We have artist illustration.
Oh, that's right. He's going
to
illustrate.
Greg Warner to send with a copy of Steam Court.
Yeah, that sounds right. Cool. Well, make sure you get in on that action and contact us and retweet and all that cool stuff. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode.
I wonder if anybody will ever send us a postcard. I wanted to ask that real quick. Where would they send a postcard to?
The address is on our website.
Yes.
What is the address? What's the address?
306 Berry Drive.
Is that like
Greer? B-A-R-R-Y. Because Tantrum House likes to mess things up.
Tantrum House is 306 Berry Drive, Greer, South Carolina.
29650.
I'm glad someone's
going to send us a postcard. This is going to be awesome in 2018.
That would be cool.
And we will like read it out loud on our podcast.
Ask us someone a question and we'll answer it or
That'd be cool, probably. Cool.
All right, cool. I think that wraps it up for tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hope you had a great time and we will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or
send us a postcard. Thank you.